All right, praise God. Awesome to be able to get up here. I'm going to go ahead and pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, or I thank you so much that I'm able to be up here and to learn from this experience and to be able to spread your word, Father, that it not be my word, but that it come from you and that you speak through me in this, Father. I thank you so much for the message that you delivered and the message that I get to deliver on your behalf, Lord. We thank you so much, and we praise you for this Shabbat. In heavenly name, amen. All right. Well, the Haftar this week is 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 51. It is the Song of David. Pretty straightforward, really, as far as Haftars go. Not a lot of hidden meaning in there, but a really encouraging and just enlightening thing to see how he speaks of God and to see the ways that he really felt him take over and overcome stuff for him. So it was a cool one to go through for me, but definitely a little more straightforward than some. I can get this thing to work. All right, and I may have to actually turn around a couple times. I don't know if I can read that all the way over there, but we'll start with verses 1 through 4. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, in the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And I don't know about you guys, but that is extremely encouraging to me. That's an awesome thing to read. It was a great way to start this out. And just in the time that we're coming into, I think it is such a positive message to see. And I think it goes right along with where we're at in this season. This is verses 5 through 7. "For the waves of death encompass me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, to my God I called. How can we fear anything of this world with an amazing Redeemer and Father like Yahweh? How could we ever be so bold to doubt what he's doing for us and the way that he goes before us and the way that he overcomes our enemies?" It's just, it's absolutely so awesome to see this exemplified in this passage and to just know that that's who really goes before us. And we've all experienced fear and we all do experience fear and doubt and it comes, but just seeing stuff like this, it makes me question how we could ever even be afraid. I'm sure people here have felt this, but has anyone ever felt encompassed by the realms of death around them or an unavoidable target of the enemy? Does it ever seem like you're going through something and it just seems like you can't stop being attacked or you can't quit walking in these realms of death? I know I've certainly felt like that. I feel like that more than I wish to sometimes, and I think that comes along with seasons, but this just shows that when we cry out to him and we follow him and we walk with him, he will go before us in those. And so when you felt like that, did you cry out to the Lord? Did you look inside yourself and really call out to him and cry in the way that David did? It's verses 8 through 16 coming up here. I kind of split them up and just went through them. But these verses go on to show our mighty Lord's great power and his limitless ability. It's something that's beyond our comprehension and something that we got to discuss on Yom Kippur that we were talking about, that he, I believe, truly exemplifies in a way that we can understand, but more so than our human brains could ever begin to understand in these scriptures. He is more than that. And so the ways that David can talk about him, you know, I think that he did his very best to truly exalt the Lord in the things that he said, but I don't think there's any way we could ever truly speak and put into words his full majesty. Verse 8, "Then the Lord reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. And he set out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and routed them. Then the channels of the sea," the channels of the sea were seen. "The foundations of the world were laid bare, and the rebuke of the Lord at the blast of his breath, at the breath of his nostrils." Just again, it's seemingly impossible to imagine something stronger than him, something greater than him, that can go before us with the might of something that is just otherworldly, that as humans we have no ability to possess that power, and we can see that it's only from him. Has Yahweh ever worked in your life in overcoming your realms of death with the piercing accuracy of arrows of lightning? Have you ever felt that when he overcomes something for you, that it was so precise and so accurate, and when you look back on it, you know exactly why every single detail was the way that it was? And it might not make sense in the time, but I know I have felt like this a lot, where I can look back and see how exactly he performed each thing in each step of the way, to know that it's just something that I can't even begin to comprehend. It's so cool. And has he ever defeated strongholds in your life so completely that it felt like the foundations of your life and faith were completely exposed? Has he ever shook everything around you and taken away those nations that are inside you so that it feels like you're back to bare and that you are starting anew with him? It's something that I think David got to experience, and I think we all get to experience as we truly call out to him. And I know that everyone in here has had a point where they needed to call out to him, and so I'm sure we can all understand it's such a cool thing. And then 17 through 51, that is the rest of it. These next verses finishing out the chapter go on to exemplify the grace he shows us and the absolute majesty he uses when granting us victory and overcoming our enemies. Just as we read through these, just really look at the gravity of the things that he does and the way that he does it for us and that he cares about us. It's so cool. Verse 20, and he brought me into a large place. He delivered me, for he delighted in me. This is something that I often feel a lot, that we hold ourselves back. We think that God is looking down on us negatively. We think that we aren't living up to his standards, which we're not. We typically don't. But he delights in us. He loves us. He cares for us. And so just verses like this constantly remind me, you know, that we often are the ones that hold ourselves back. It's not the Lord looking at us saying, I'm not going to do that for you. It's us simply not taking the steps to go for him and to allow him to be that in our lives. Verse 28, people afflicted, you save, but when your eyes are on the haughty, you humble them. The proud he humbles. It is a true thing. I know I've been proud in my life, and I have been humbled. It's never a fun thing to go through, but you learn a lot from it. And so we can see that he will stand up for us, but he will also hold us accountable. It is something that we can count on. As much as we can count on him to be there, we can count on him correcting us and really guiding us and drawing us near. It's not that he's correcting us out of hatred or anger. It's that he loves us and he does not want to see us fall to these realms of death. He doesn't want to see us be the proud man that fold, but sometimes we get stuck in our ways and we have to. And then verse 35, he trains my hands for war until my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield, which is salvation. Your answers make me great. This really stuck out to me because of the bow section, obviously, but just the nature of the fact that he's training us. It's not that he's always going to continue to step in and only allow him to defeat us. It is through his power that we ever win any battle against any nation, but he trains us. He gives us those tools. He gives us the ability to use those tools to discern the things that we're supposed to do as believers, as people of the kahal, of a community. He is the one that sets us up for success in those areas. And so he allows us to become strong, but he is also our shield. It's an amazing thing. And as we've read these, are you guys encouraged? Are you guys excited for this season that we're coming into, knowing that this is our Father? Is it something that is exciting to you as it is to me? I think it's so, so cool. And are you on fire for Yahweh and his mighty reign in your life, in the life of this country, in the life of this world? Are you guys excited to see what he's going to do? And are you on fire to battle with him? Because he wants us there. It's certainly coming. And so I think as we all prepare for that and get ready for that, I think it's a little unknowing, but it's very cool to see that he's preparing us, and it's exciting to be on fire for him. We should not fear these chaotic times or seemingly desolate times. I think that there's a lot of times that we can get wrapped up in the things going on in the country or in the world that we truly feel down and like we're out of control and that God is not in control. But going back to talking about the accuracy of the arrows, there is something that we do not understand that is at work here. And there is a bigger plan. And so it is just, it's become very... relieving to me. It feels like I can let a weight go when I give that to him, when I can allow him to truly take those burdens from me. And no matter what's going on in the country that I'm worried about, whether it's abortion or just any of these things that we struggle with and that we're constantly at odds with everybody else in this country, that I can give that to him. It's no longer a fight that I have to bear on my own, that I have to worry about at night, that I have to have anxiety about, because he's got it. And the more that I worry about it, the more I don't trust that he does have it. And so letting that go to him is huge. Do not fear in these times. The Lord that I see and feel in these scriptures can overcome them with ease and tact. It's absolutely nothing for him to defeat these things. And it may seem that he works slow or he works in different ways, but it's all for a plan and it all has a purpose. We have nothing to fear but ever just not knowing his face and not knowing his heart and him not knowing us. That is what we really have to fear. As we end, or as I come to an end here, I'll leave you with this. I think it's a beautiful picture of our walk in relationship with Yahweh today, especially as we're coming into this season, realizing what he's done for us, what we've been atoned for, what we get to celebrate as a marriage with him, and that we get to really exalt him for. It's a cool little set of verses here. With the merciful, you are merciful. With the champion of purity, you are pure. With the honest, you are honest. But with the crooked, you are cunning. The word cunning there, I did a little bit of digging through different translations, and the one that I had originally read said twisted, and so it kind of threw me off and sent me into looking at these. But it's the fact that he is no different among all of us. There was one that it said he makes himself torturous among the wicked. When it comes to repairing things, when it comes to bringing his people back, when it comes to justice for those that have done wrong, he is torturous. He will put the fire to you, and he will make change in you. And so I thought that was a really cool way that they put it, you know, that among the crooked, he is still the same, and he will still hold you accountable. I think that's a thing that we also talk about a lot in church or in just our daily lives, is not walking out of here and just becoming part of what we're surrounded by and not melding back into the world and just doing our thing on Saturday and then the rest of the week we're in the realms of death of the world. It's cool because it shows right there that he tests those people and he holds them accountable for those things and does not just take part in it. 28, people afflicted you save, but when your eyes are on the haughty, you humble them. For you, Adonai, are my lamp. Adonai lights up my darkness. He is our light in the world. Thank you, guys.